Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. For more info on the show, raisingthevibrationradio.com, latalkradio.com. Don't forget to email me. Let me know what you think of the show. I would absolutely love that. Raising the Vibration is the first outreach, this radio show, of a movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded in November of 2016 in my mother's honor on her birthday, November 9th. We'll be 3 years old in November. And it's called raisingthevibration.org, or I Am Raising the Vibration of the Nation and the World. And we're at IamRaisingTheVibration.com and RaisingTheVibration.org. And since then, new outreaches. Our community outreach is at TheVibrationNation.com. Our blog and vlog at AVibrationNation.com. My spiritual coaching business and ministerial services are at IamRaisingYourVibration.com. This summer, we're launching a women's division, WomenRaisingTheVibration.com. We also have a wonderful group of light workers, RaisingTheVibration.com. All kinds of things are happening, thevibrationuniverse.com. These are all coming up soon, and I'm so excited about it. The Vibration Vortex is going to be our little store. All parts of this nonprofit movement that we are putting together and launching so that there's more peace, love, kindness, and unity in the world. That's our goal. So honored to be here at LA Talk Radio. Hello, Facebook Live. Honored to be here with you all tonight. Sometimes on Raising the Vibration, we have guests, and sometimes it's just me, and we take calls, and that's what we're doing tonight. So our topic tonight is about this, and we've got, I know a lot of people that want to get on the air with us. I'm going to be putting the link around because people are looking for the live stream right now, and I've got callers lined up to go on with me. So here's what we're talking about tonight. Here's our topic for the night. Have you been told, do people tell you all the time, that you are too sensitive, that you feel too much? Why do you feel so much? Why do you care so much? Why are you being so nice? How come you care about that? Why do you care about people? What's your problem? This is something that happens to me in my life, my friends, on a constant basis. I cannot even tell you how often I am stricken with the why do you care so much? How come you care so much? What do you care? I care about everything. I feel everything. It's who I am. And for many years, I thought I wasn't supposed to be that person because people made me feel like there was something wrong with me for feeling like that. And now I just say, I am who I am. I'm going to be what I am. And who I am is somebody who cares all the time about everything and everybody. Now I've stepped into service, my friends, even more than I ever was. I'm not only here at LA Talk Radio, being a voice for you all, And allowing other people to come in and share their stories and being a voice for them or a conduit for their voices. But I'm also now a minister. I'm on staff at the Founders MCC Church in Hollywood. I'm a full-time spiritual counselor, psychic healer. I teach workshops. I speak about vibration. I speak about spirituality. I mean, I'm full on in service now in every way ever. In addition to all the things that I do artistically and creatively and through media in service. I've always been a person of service. Now I'm just a lot more open about how much in service I am. So here's the thing, my friends. I'm done apologizing for caring. I'm done apologizing for feeling. I'm done apologizing for being able to tap into other people's emotions, other people's spirituality, for other people's spirituality. I'm done apologizing for being me. I am who I am. I love who I am. I am always going to be who I am. And those of you out there right now that are saying, what's wrong with me? People are always telling me that I feel too much. Let me be the first one to tell you, my friends, that what's wrong with you is there's nothing wrong with you. And the only thing that may be wrong with you is you may have the wrong people in your life. Because this world right now, this crazy friggin' world that we live in, This world needs more people who care. This world needs more people who care too much. This world needs more people who feel everything. This world needs all of that. And I for one, think we need to stand up and say, you know what? We are the empaths. We are the intuitives. We are people who care about other people's souls. And we love the world, and we love the creatures of the earth, and we love each other, and we love ourselves, and we love spirit, God, goddess, source, universe, whatever you want to call your higher power, higher power. And we're not going to apologize anymore for being like that. So tonight, I'm going to take your calls. We're going to put you on the air to talk about this topic. Have you been told that you feel too much, care too much? Do you think it's possible to feel or care too much? I have a YouTube channel for RaisingTheVibration.org. And it's just, I think if you type in Raising the Vibration, you'll find it. Or if you're on my mailing list, there's links at the bottom of my mailers for it. I did a video about caring, and it was about I Will Continue to Care is what it was called. I'm just not going to be that jaded person that decides I don't care anymore. I don't know how to be that person. I don't want to be that person. Trust me, people in my life have done enough things to me to make me not want to care anymore. I'm in the middle of that right now. I know what it's like to want to throw your hands in the air and say, F this, I don't care anymore. But you know what? When you work against the nature of who you are, it doesn't benefit you. It works against you. And that's the most important thing in life that I can tell you, is that your connection with yourself, that's the most intense and important connection there is. You're being locked into self right here in your solar plexus. That's the most important thing that you can have. It's the most important connection that you can have. So we're talking about that all tonight. I know I've got Jessica waiting. I've got Carrie waiting. I've got Linda waiting. If you want to get on the air with me tonight and talk about this, text me, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. Send me a text message, and I will get you on the list to get on the air. So of course, you will send me your number because you're texting me. Also, send me your name so I know who you are. Send me your email if you want so I can let you know what's going on with me. 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. It's okay to care. Join the club. I'm caring. I'm caring right along with you all. It's going to be a caring circle today. We're all going to talk about what happens, and I'm going to be the one to give you the pep talk when you tell me that too many people tell you that you shouldn't care. I will be the one to remind you that it's okay to care and that you should be caring. Okay? Keep that in mind. Keep it all in mind, my friends. 818-437-0886. So we're going to get Jessica in the system and get her on with us. She's probably listening. Hi, Jessica, if you're listening. We're going to get her in the system, and then we're going to give her a call. And we are going to get her on the air with us. And we're going to talk about this very topic. So the reason that you have to text me is the way that our Skype system works, I sort of have to put you into the contacts as I'm doing, right? You can hear my little fingers tapping right now. I'm putting Jessica in. And then I call you. And the thing that's nice about it, I mean, as much as it probably seems weird, the thing that's nice about it is that then I know who's going to be on the air. So I'm essentially becoming my own call screener and my own producer, so that we don't get like weird calls that don't belong, or, you know, crank calls, or somebody calling for the last show or the next show. The last show's mine, so people know better. But the next show, whatever it is, you know? So I think the next show is mine too. I think at 9 o'clock they replay my daily show. So, but other days of the week that aren't Monday, that could happen. And I just like the professionalism of knowing that that we know who we're going to get on the line. And it's people that have texted me and told me what they want to talk about. And I think that's wonderful. So here we go. We're going to get Jessica on now. 818-437-0886. That's how you get on with me. And we're going to talk about, have people told you that you care too much? And what do you do about it? How do you handle it? Jessica, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hi.
Hi. You've been told you care too much. This is like an AA meeting. We should also like, hi, I'm Jessica, and I've been told that I care too much.
Yeah, I've been told by multiple people that I care too much.
Yeah. When did that start? Mm-hmm. When did people start telling you, like, you care too much, or you feel too much, or how why are you like that? Can't you stop that? I mean, what do you remember how early that started for you?
No, I can't. I've always been told I was always too sensitive ever since I was a kid.
Yeah.
My parents still tell me this.
Yeah. And when you were little, did your parents tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you think there was something wrong with you and you needed to find a way to be different?
Oh, yeah. Even to this day, I have friends who are like, you shouldn't invest so much time in, you know, in people and everything like that. You should just, like, walk away and everything. But I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But when is the time to walk away? I mean, is there a time where you have to say, because this is a lesson that I've learned, and this is not going to be a show tonight where I tell everyone not to care, because I think you should care. But I also think, unfortunately, there are people in the world that don't deserve your caring, and you need to know when somebody actually deserves your help and when it's time to let someone go. And that's been one of the hardest life lessons for me, Jessica.
For me, it's definitely like if I don't see, I guess, improvement, like if people are constantly come up to me and being like, I need advice on something, and then I give it to you and you're just doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, what? Then why do you keep coming to me if you want advice, if you're going to be doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, expecting a different result? At that point, it's like, I don't stop caring. It's more or less, I just take a step back and been like, I've done all I can. I'm still going to be here if you need me, but I can't keep doing this anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard, my friend. It's a hard thing. Why do you think it is? I was talking about this with my guest on my daily show, the Sheena Metal Experience, mm-hmm. a little while ago. I had some healers on, and we were talking about this. And one of the girls was talking about how she used to work at this place at a healing spa. I'm using finger quotes, healing spa. And the guy who ran the spa would get angry at her because, you know, she had her own room where she saw her own patients, but then she would go and sort of, as she was wandering around, I don't know, doing whatever, going to the bathroom, getting coffee, whatever, she would stop and poke her head in people's rooms and ask how they were and talk to them and just sort of spread a little joy. And he literally would mm-hmm. come into her office and sort of bust her for it. And like, why are you doing that? And why are you bringing so much laughter? And why are you talking to people you don't have to talk to? And I remarked on the show today that I have had that experience so many times in my life where somebody has literally said to me, why are you being nice to that person? And I think we live in a world where we need so much more love and so much more joy and so much more connection mm-hmm. and people really feeling like they're not alone. Why would you bust another person for being happy or friendly to people? I don't even understand that at all. Do you?
I have a theory. It's more
Please.
Or less of like, I guess as an owner, it's more or less you're especially in the, like, I hate to say this, especially here in this country, you're constantly worried that someone's going to complain or possibly just like leave a bad review and then possibly come back and like possibly have like suing them. I used to work in social media and now I work in the legal field. And it's this constant looming thing like, okay, if you go ahead and you upset somebody, you don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know if they're going to leave a bad review on Yelp, for instance, and that might destroy your business. You don't know if they're going to come at you and possibly do, you know, say like, I'm going to sue you because X, Y, you know, so-and-so employees, I felt like they were an invasion of privacy or something like that.
Exactly.
So
of course. Yeah.
You just don't know, unfortunately.
That's
so
sad, right? That we're getting in that world.
It is really sad.
You know, I was at a gay pride celebration at my church on Saturday, and they had like a barbecue afterwards, and people were waiting in line for food. And, you know, I've hurt my knees, so I'm hobbling a little bit, and I sort of zigged and mm-hmm. this other guy zagged and we sort of bumped into each other. And I just naturally like put my hand on his back and said, no, you go because I'm hobbling. And And then I thought, oh, I have my hand on a strange man's back. Is this going to be an issue? Because sometimes people get, and so I said to him, I'm sorry, I just naturally touch people. I hope you're not weird with it. And he's like, oh my God, no, please, absolutely. And I said to him, and then everybody in the line sort of, I think, looked at me quizzically because, you know, why am I bringing up serious stuff over the barbecue chicken? But I said, you know, we need to make sure that we live in a world where we don't fall into our iPhone screens and never come out. Like, we need to not become people that never touch each other, or we're going to start getting really weird on a cellular level.
Yes. I've actually had a similar experience years and years ago when I was living in Washington, D.C. There was a woman who actually got on the subway, and she had an invisible disability. Like, she had a cane, but, you know, that doesn't really say anything. Sometimes it could just be like, oh, they're just tired or something like that. And she actually announced to everybody in the train car that she suffers from, I don't remember what disease it was, but it left her in a lot of pain. She couldn't walk properly. She can't stand up for long periods of time. And she just asked very, very nicely, can anyone just give up their seat for me?
Yeah.
I got up without a second thought, and I was like, here, take mine. Mm-hmm. I'm young. I'm healthy. Take my seat. And she sat down. She thanked me. And then this couple asked me to come over and talk to them, and I'm like, okay, this is really strange. And the gentleman he thanked me for being nice, for giving up my seat for somebody. And I thought that was the strangest. I mean, I accepted the thank you, and I was like, oh, no problem. But in my head, I'm thinking, this is such a strange thing to thank for somebody for being nice and doing a decent human thing. I never understood that.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed when I went on a cruise once, and we were all waiting to go to, it was a New England cruise, we were all waiting to go to Salem for an excursion. And one of the guys that worked at the cruise had to say to everybody repeatedly, if you see someone who's having trouble standing on their own, please give them your seat. And I thought, isn't that sad that you need to tell a room of young, able-bodied people, if you see an elderly person standing there with a cane or someone who cannot walk, get up and give them your seat? Because human beings have become so myopic and inwardly focused, Jessica, that we forget that, oh yeah, somebody else might need my seat.
I think it's also because on the generation of social media, it's also more or less of, okay, if I do give up my seat or if I am nice to somebody, how is this person going to react? Are they going to come and be grateful, or are they going to come and try to like snap my head off?
Yeah. Yes.
And I know, like, for me personally, if I like, a great example is, because now I live in New York, you go on these subways and you see these pregnant ladies, and unless she's like really pregnant, I'm reluctant to give up my seat, because I've heard stories from friends and also from people on the internet saying how like, oh, I gave up a seat for a lady, and she like yelled at me saying how like, how dare you? I am not, I'm not disabled. I am perfectly fine to stand up by myself.
Yeah.
Like, I just hear stories, and then now it's like, oh my gosh, like what happens if that happens to me? And then people are recording it, and then they put it up on social media. Like, this is going to look terrible.
No, I know.
I think there's also that fear.
I know that when my mom was walking with a walker at the end of her life, and it, you know, she was so tough and Irish and a New Yorker, and it embarrassed her so badly. She fell once in a parking lot, and everybody stood around her in a circle, and nobody offered to help. And she was panicked. It made her very scared to go out and do things. And somebody finally came up and helped her, and called an ambulance to come, and the guys came and got her up and back in her car. And the ambulance, the paramedics told her, it's because there's a thing where an older person falls down and you reach in to help them, and then somebody else comes and hits you in the back of the head and takes your wallet. So like the old person and a young person work in tandem. So we're so scared now that we're going to be mugged, attacked, beat, whatever it is, that we're scared to help somebody for fear that it's all a scam. And I think that our brains, Jessica, have gotten so wired to think that everything is a scam, a catfish, a conspiracy theory, trolling. We don't even know what's real anymore.
Right. Right.
And you know?
I know, like, in some places, too, because I have a friend who is an EMT, if you go and help them as a good Samaritan, but you accidentally injure them, they can come back and sue you.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, we have to
I don't understand that.
We have to just double up on our insurance for everything. I mean, just to be alive.
Mm-hmm.
And, mm-hmm. I mean, I understand, but man, that's a scary world. And I think that all of that, and I talk about this all the time, and this is a little off topic, but here I go. But I guess it isn't for people who care. I really feel like we're sucking up on a cellular and a spiritual level, Jessica, all that fear. And we're becoming kind of scared of our own shadows. You know, we think everything is a conspiracy. We think every politician's out to get us. We think every doctor's out to get us. We think everyone's looking to sue us. We think everything's a scam. You know, the news is just full of stories about how everyone is out to get you, scam you, trap you. We're not hearing enough good stuff back. We're only hearing bad mm-hmm. stuff. You know, I live in Southern California and I have Spectrum Cable. And Spectrum has started doing this thing. I don't know if they're doing it everywhere, but they're doing it in LA, where they have their own news channel. And it's like Channel One. And it's 100% local news. And it's wonderful mm-hmm. because it's a lot of positive stuff. Like, here's this person who was an immigrant and now they teach people how to speak English. Or, you know, here's this guy who inherited his, you know, grandfather's baguette recipe and started his own restaurant. I mean, it's like positive things, because I think on a lot of the major news networks now, all we're basically hearing is different versions of you're all going to die. And we've sucked that in, and it's made us kind of crazy.
It's either you're going to die or someone's trying to screw you over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's too.
Yeah. And they're going to screw you over and then you're going to die. We're all going to die. We're all going to lose all our money. Or, you know, if you do that, no one will talk to you again. It's mm-hmm. it's sad, I think.
No, I agree. And I always tell my friends, because I'm actually the one person where I will talk to a homeless person for
I will too.
Endless hours. I've done that before. I've had people try to pull me away and be like, we got to go.
Yeah.
So I'm that kind of person where I'm I will talk to random people and everything. One, because, you know, to me, it's I have nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I don't care if this person judges me or not. I'm not friends with this person. Chances are I'll probably never see them again. So I feel comfortable talking to them. But mostly it's it's a nice thing to do. You know, it's you talk to them, and sometimes, you know, these people, whether they're homeless or they're elderly or they're living by mm-hmm. themselves, they don't really have people to talk to. So you talk to them and you hear stories from them. I've sat next to elderly gentlemen on the subway and I'm amazed at their life stories and everything. And unfortunately, it's every time my stop is always before theirs and I have to get up. I'm I'm so sorry. I have to go. This is my stop, but it was great talking to you. And my friends think I'm crazy for doing this.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm no, I think it's great, because you learn so much from these people. And I always remind them, there is nothing, it doesn't cost anything to be nice and lend an ear or something like that. It doesn't cost you anything.
I agree. I completely agree. But we have to get over our fear, and also our fear, and also we have a strange, it's almost like we think if we talk to a homeless person, Jessica, their homelessness is going to rub off on us. We are so fearful that we're going to catch things. And I always tell this story as a story. My best friend had cancer a couple of years ago. And when she didn't know that she had the cancer yet, the pressure from the abdominal cancer manifested these mm-hmm. two gigantic blood clots in her lungs. And she didn't tell anybody she had them for a long time, because she didn't want to be too freaked out by people's comments. But then eventually she went on Facebook and said, okay, this is a thing and they're shrinking. After she'd gone to the doctor and found out that the blood thinners were working and they were shrinking, she's like, this mm-hmm. was really scary and this is why you haven't heard from me. And was kind of freaked out to realize that so many of the comments weren't like, hey, get better, or hey, we're sorry, but how did you know? And how would I know if I had that? And it's like we've become so self-centered that we think everybody's thing, all we think about is how could it happen to us? And it's funny, because, you know, with my knee injury, I, you know, fell off a stage during a musical about women's wrestling. And none of the girls that played wrestlers got hurt, but I got hurt. There's the irony. And so I've been walking with a cane the last 3 or 4 months, trying to get, as I get better. I don't need it much anymore, thank mm-hmm. God. But man, two things happen when somebody sees you have a cane. Three things happen. One, they start to feel like, oh, look at somebody on a cane, I should feel sorry for them. So that starts. Two is they decide they need to tell you what to do with your life because you're on a cane. And then
what?
Three is they feel like they can say anything in the world to you. So I'm at it's Mother's Day weekend, and I'm at a fish restaurant with my best friend and her family. So my best friend and her husband and her daughter, who's like my niece, and they're supposed to be seating us and they're not seating us. And it's, you know, it was early on in my therapy. So I got some pain and I'm holding onto the cane, and this woman comes over and insists that I take her seat. And first I said, no, you know, I'm fine. And then she's like, no, you know, you should take my seat. And I thought, well, you know, if I wasn't having this problem, I would give her my seat. So I'm part of being injured is learning to accept help. And I thought, I'm going to do this. So I took her seat. I sat down. No sooner do I sit down, Jessica, that she turns around and she says, you know, you wouldn't be in that place if you'd had the surgery. My husband had the double knee. First, she asked if I'd had surgery, and I said, no, I was going the natural route and doing physical therapy. She's like, oh, well, you know, you wouldn't be in this position if you'd done the surgery. My husband had a double knee cap replacement. And she just starts going off. Well, first of all, who told her I needed a kneecap replacement? She doesn't know what's wrong with me. But it's almost
wow.
Like the whole attitude of it, Jessica, was like, if you had done the right thing and had the surgery, I wouldn't have had to give you my seat.
Right.
So it becomes your fault that you're not better. And I see that I'm sorry?
Sorry. And it's not even that. It's like she just assumed that what worked for her husband would work for you, and that's probably not even the case.
Well, yeah. And I think the whole idea is, well, why aren't you just making it go away? And when I say people, look, I have a great physical therapist, I have a great massage therapist, I'm doing the natural route, people are like, oh, but you know, it would be so much quicker if you would just get the surgery, or it'd be so much quicker if you just got the cortisone shots. It's like, well, since you have all the answers, lady, have you done any research on what cortisone does to your body? Because it's not great.
Yeah.
So everybody has this opinion for who they think you should be. And everybody has this idea. And all I always think is, you know, what if I didn't fall off a stage? What if I had a disease and I was degeneratively getting worse and I was never going to walk again? Those kind of comments are like, those are like soul crushing. I just kind of look and think, ugh, what an asshole, and I'm going to get better. But you know, but what if I wasn't going to get better? I mean, it's just the way, and you know, it's just this very strange way that people treat you. Do you know, it's, It's a strange thing. People, oh, are you going to be able to get in the booth? Well, honey, if I couldn't get in the booth, I would tell you I can't get in the booth. But they suddenly everybody becomes your doctor and your parent, and they know what's best for you. And I think that my mom used to always say a little knowledge is dangerous. And she used to say it about people that thought they were smarter than they were and knew like two things, but thought they knew everything. She also used to say that person is obviously the smartest person they know about people who are like that.
Right.
So I think because we read the internet now and we all think we know everything and we all think we're scholars on every subject imaginable, we now think it's okay to just walk randomly up to people and give all our advice about something. So we need to work on that.
I've had people, this is a bit off topic, but
no, please.
Still in a similar realm. I've had people, because I have a dog, I have a very fluffy 40-pound corgi.
Nice.
And people are constantly coming to me and not even asking me, like, oh, I'm going to pet him. And I'm like, first of all, that's fine, because luckily he's friendly, but if he's not, please do not pet my dog.
Right.
There have been times where he's, like, stressed out, and then... You know, he's just like, I'm like, okay, please don't touch him because he's going to bite you. And some people are like, no, it's fine. I'm like, okay, well, then I warned you.
So right.
It's pretty much the same thing. It's like, just because you've had good encounters with dogs doesn't mean that every dog is going to be like.
Well, and maybe I'm just a woo-woo weirdo. And we know I probably am just a woo-woo weirdo. But I don't pet dogs until I suss out their energy. Because like not every dog,
ask the owner.
I ask the owner, and yes, plus I let the dog come up to me and tell me what it wants.
Me too.
Sometimes
I look at the dog first to see if it's stressed out.
Yeah.
And then, because you can usually tell if it's like tail wagging or tail down or fur up, whatnot. And then I ask the owner, can I pet your dog? Because sometimes it could be going somewhere. I've actually had one time where the owner was like, no, don't pet him, We're actually going somewhere. And I'm like, oh, okay. Have a good day. And then they just left.
Yeah.
The dog was super friendly, but they were like, we're going somewhere and we can't spare time. I'm like, totally fine.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, and then it's the same thing, but it's, I mean, like I said, it's off topic, but still very
similar, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing with dogs as it is with people. Don't make assumptions and don't take advantage of someone's energy if you haven't been invited in, whether it's a dog or a person.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. And I don't know whether I'm Asian American, but I was raised specifically Chinese American. Uh-huh. I was raised in a semi-traditional Chinese household. Like, not traditional enough, where it's like, you know, within the Asian community, you can tell, like, oh, your parents are very, very traditional, but still a little bit traditional. And one of the main things that my parents have taught us, me and my brother, is there's no word for it in English, but it's more or less of like, whatever you say, whatever you do, you have to think about how it's going to affect other people.
Yes. Yes.
And if you think it's going to affect them negatively, just don't even say it. Don't even do it.
Yeah. Yes.
So that also then translates to me being like, I'm going to butt out of your business until you're ready to tell me.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm going to let the dog come decide if it wants to be petted, because you're not technically its owner. You're technically its companion. Mm-hmm. Like, I get that you think you're its owner, but you're actually its companion. And it has its own mind and it's a sentient being. And maybe it doesn't feel like being petted.
Oh, yeah, I've had that happen multiple times where my dog Paxton is like, nope. And I'm like, okay, sorry, guys.
I mean, you wouldn't just walk up and touch someone's child. I mean, there was a time when you would, but now you wouldn't dare walk up and just touch someone's child. But we think we can walk up and just touch someone's dog or someone's cat, and then we get so surprised when it doesn't want it. But again, it's that same thing. It's not being sensitive to the energies around you. And we get get knocked for being sensitive, but the truth is, at least we're sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
Other folks aren't, and they think they can say anything they want. And
right,
you know, I think it's something that, and I say this only because, not to criticize humanity, but to say this only because I think it's something that we need to keep an eye on and we need to watch.
No, totally.
And that's important because we only, you know, we're trying to work together as one human family to really make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I totally agree.
That means being gentle with each other and deciding what we like and what we don't like. And being, I had this appointment with a doctor a couple of weeks ago. And I said, he said the sweetest thing. New doctor, loved my other doctor. He retired. I thought, oh God, I don't want to deal with somebody new right now. Guy comes in, I'm like, oh God, I don't want to deal with this. But then, lovely. So, you know, you never know. And he was telling me all these things he thought I should do. My cardiologist, because I have, you know, paradoxical AFib. Sometimes I have it, sometimes I don't. And mostly don't, thankfully. And he's telling me all this stuff, and I'm looking at him. He looked at me and he said, look, I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here to make suggestions, and then you have to decide what to do with your life.
Right.
And I thought, you know, if we all treated each other like that, if we all treat each other like, I'm not here, Jessica, to tell you what to do with your life, because frankly, my life isn't perfect, so why am I telling you what to do with your life? My job is just to make suggestions for what it's been my experience might be something that you could try if you asked. If you didn't ask, not. But when you go to a doctor, you are asking. And then you do what you want, and I just kind of put my two cents in because, you know, it feels good to put your two cents in and help people out. But that doesn't mean I know anything or I have this big knowledge, but man, people will walk right up to you on the street and just give you an opinion about everything. I'm sure you've had that happen with your dog.
Yeah, I have. But so, luckily, I've been very blessed that the things that people have told me about my dog, a lot of times people know I'm a first-time owner, so they're like, oh, try this. And I was like, oh, okay. And it worked. Like, the perfect example would be I was at the dog park like a year or so ago, and I had trouble recalling my dog. Like, he just would not listen to me and did not know and I was so frustrated, did not know what to do. This gentleman actually came up to me and he saw me struggle and he gave me some wonderful advice. And now I don't have any trouble recalling him. I go out in public, I'm like, come here. And then he'll come to me and then without any issue, and then we just go.
I love that. That's fantastic.
Yeah, he, mm-hmm.
Honey, you're amazing.
And
I did have another lady
who, unfortunately, I had a really bad experience with. Her dog wasn't so well trained.
Oh.
And she gave me a lecture about, like, how I need to train my dog. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, first of all, my dog wouldn't have approached your dog, because I guess the dog was a bit of aggressive.
Yeah.
My dog wouldn't have approached your dog if you weren't standing at the exit as we were trying to leave and you were talking to your friend.
Yeah.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me, giving me a lecture on this. I just walked away because I didn't want to cause a fight, because her dog was, like, huge compared to mine. So I was like, I don't want to cause a fight. I'm just going to walk out.
Yeah. That's a shame. It's a shame we all can't learn to work together. I mean, I understand it's a big world and we're not all going to get along all the time. We're not all going to be able to work together. But it would be nice if we could all make a concentrated effort to try to work together.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Wouldn't that be great? You're wonderful, sweetheart. Thank you so much for the call tonight.
Thank you for your
input on this. I appreciate it. You call in anytime because you're fantastic. Jessica, everybody at home, when you're at home, give her a round of applause as you're listening, because I know she'll feel the energy and feel the love from it. And it's always hard to be the first caller, and I appreciate how great she was and that she was awesome to go first. So thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. If you want to get on live, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. You can be as good as Jessica, we hope. So we're going to get Carrie on the phone in just minutes. Takes a minute to put everybody in the system here. And I had a really, really full show today on my daily Sheena Metal Experience show. So I did not get a chance to get everybody in early, as I can sometimes, because we were on camera. And I had on the folks from Healing Hands, which is who the wonderful people that are getting me healthy and well. And if you're in the Los Angeles area, please go and visit Healing Hands for everything from acupuncture to chiropractic to massage to physical therapy to compression therapy to, you can even get a facial, a cupping, stones, Thai massage, you know, deep tissue massage, everything that you can think of on the earth, because we need to get healthy. And I think surgery is a beautiful thing when it's needed and it's a necessity. But man, I've had so many surgeries in my life that I could not avoid. The last thing I want is to have another surgery if I don't have to. So go see them. They're wonderful. You know what? Text me or email me and I'll give you the information. My email is Sheena@IamRaisingTheVibration.com. And my phone is 818-437-0886. Yes, I just gave my phone out on the air because that's how I am. All right, so we're gonna get Carrie on with us now. The topic is, do people tell you that you feel too much? Do people tell you that you care too much? And what are you doing about it? I gotta tell you, folks, right now, I don't care that people tell me I care too much. When people say you care too much, I say, thank you. I wish you would care more. I think we all need to care too much. And now we're going to get Carrie on, whose name starts with care. How perfect is that? Just send me a text and I'll get you on the call list, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. I'm doing everything all at once here. I've gotten used to this. I do these broadcasts from my bed on Friday afternoons called I Am Raising Your Vibration at IamRaisingYourVibration.com. And so I have to, like, run the email. I have to get the talk to people, put the link around on Facebook. People call me and people email me with psychic questions, and I do psychic readings and healings, but there's just literally nobody but me. I have to read the questions and then answer them. They're really fun. I'm super tired afterwards, but in the best possible way. But I've gotten used to doing that now. So now doing this at LA Talk Radio, where I have the wonderful Sam in the other room, or Ronan in the other room helping me run the Facebook Live. And I have a computer that moves at the speed of lightning, which mine at home, you know, might not. And I have all this stuff set up right here. I don't have my laptop balanced on a space heater and my phone on a tripod balanced on a TV tray. It's, like, really fancy here. This has become very easy. I remember when I thought this was, like, herding cats and juggling at the same time, but now it seems easy. Carrie, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hello, can you hear me?
I totally can hear you.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you? It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, thank you so much. I came upon your post, and I wanted to share about share my ideas about this whole emotional thing.
Please.
Because, I have been told that I'm too emotional, but I feel like that's coming from like an artistic point of view because I'm so creative and I do music and I do art and all that good stuff. And I go into the whole thing about researching, like an introspection, like in within, you mm-hmm. know, and with other subjects. So I feel like I am very emotional through that. And I feel like some trees and some animals and some stars communicate with me. I feel like I have that specific kind of like a gift. I know it's kind of strange.
No.
But sometimes I just feel it. You know, I just, when I walk into a room and I'm in a different place, like I automatically feel something. And so I've always kind of just accepted it, but I don't share it with other people.
Well, of course. I mean, I do. I didn't for years. I do now. Now I talk about it. But I didn't for years because it terrified me. I thought the minute I told people that I could communicate with people and that I was a psychic, I thought, oh my God, I'm seriously going to get rode out of on a rail. The entertainment business is going to ride me out on a rail.
You know, sometimes you meet new people and then you tell them that and they're like, oh no, this guy's weird. You know, like we don't want him around. You know, you kind of get that like backlash a little bit. But, you know, I try not to focus on it too much, but I can't help it. So I have been, you know, I have talked to some therapists about it too. It's not that severe, but I'm mostly therapy for events in my life that I have no control over. But in the past, like I was able to have the privilege to meet this therapist, and he told me that I wasn't feeling enough. And this was about like 15 years ago, and he told me that he asked me a question. He goes, how do you feel? And at that point, I was in shock from a previous traumatic relationship. And he said that you are not feeling anymore. You think before you feel. And that's not actually right. That's not normal. You know, so for people that think people feel or have too much emotion,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of strange because we're humans. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm a little bit like out there too. And I think you are.
I am
also,
totally out there.
Space.
Yeah, totally out there. Now, Carrie, why do you think that anybody would think that you didn't feel enough? Do you think you were just bearing it down in there and not?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, when he asked that question to me, we just barely met. So he was trying to learn how I respond to ideas, and he was trying to dig in about like my whole traumatic experience.
Right.
And so I think I was in shock at that point where I felt like, wow, like I have to think before feel. So I go like this, like, I think I'm sad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So instead of like, I say, I feel sad or I feel depressed or I feel like a number of emotions all at once, I say, I think first. So, you know, so, and that was kind of like a problem for him. And it kind of like really left me something to think about, you know, because feelings are so important. And I don't have a problem about being too emotional.
No, I don't either. I don't know. Yeah,
yeah,
but you must have at some point, if somebody thought you weren't emotional enough, you must have shut a bunch of stuff off.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah,
terrible
yeah,
at it.
Yeah.
I keep saying I'm going to do it, and I'm terrible about it. And as a matter of fact, looking back on situations where I did it out of survival necessity, I kind of hate that mm-hmm. I did it. I look back, and the first thing I think is... oh man, what was I thinking? And why didn't I fight harder? And why didn't I try to get somebody to talk to me? And why did I just walk away? Sometimes I think mm-hmm. you have to walk away, but I still always have regrets about walking away. There aren't a lot of things I ever, I never feel good when I've walked away without something being said. So, you know, and there have been situations in my life where people who were in my life have allowed others in their life to push me out of their life. And I don't think just me. I think anybody in their life. I don't think it's anything specifically is being done to me. I think there are people who don't want, they want somebody in their life to be the only, only have them, you know, so that anybody gets close. It's like a little dog that loves their master. And if you come over and try to talk to their master, they'll scream your face off. It's like that. So I've been in situations like that where it has gotten kind of ugly. And I have walked away because it was the smartest thing to do. And in all honesty, the person who was in my life wasn't fighting for me. They let me go. But there are times where I look back and I think like I had a real ugly thing happen 5 years ago when my mom was sick. I think had my mom not been sick at the time, I think I probably would have tried to be more communicative with these people and fight for the person in my life and plead my case a little bit more. But I had other things to worry about. My mom had just had an episode of hypoxia, which is when you don't get enough oxygen to your brain. And she thought I was a dog. I mean, my mother, who was my best friend, didn't know who I was. So no, I had to just, I walked away because I didn't know what else to do at that time. I walked away for my own survival. But every once in a while I look back and I think, man, should I have, what would that have been different if I had been in a good place? You know, I talk about this all the time throughout all of my spiritual work. Carrie, that an empath always immediately first says, what did I do? And a narcissist always immediately first says, what did you do? So empaths are sort of taking responsibility for everything in the world, and we're taking everything on ourselves. And I think that's hard, you know?
It is.
So I just feel like, I just really feel like there's a, there's a fine line between when you need to stop caring and when you need to keep caring. And I know for me in my life, even though the time had probably come for me to stop caring, and it was a good thing I walked away in situations, I still, in the back of my mind, sometimes beat myself up for places where I didn't care as much as I normally would have. Does that make sense? I mean, I don't think, I think if I had gone in and fought for that person and was still involved with that person, I think my life would have a whole nother set of problems now that it's probably a good thing it doesn't have. But I always look back and think, what, and I know you're this way too, Carrie, I always look back and think, what could I have done to make the situation better? And, you know.
Yeah, so this timing is amazing because, you know, something that happened in the past, you know, just like what you're telling me right now.
Sure.
I wrote a song. Yeah, I wrote a song called Keep On Loving You. But the song is about, like, really loving someone, even though you guys are not together anymore.
Right.
And maybe because, you know, this person is in a distant place or something did not work out, I just, like, you know, have this emotion and thought and feeling to keep on loving this person for being not there anymore, or just, you know, maybe being a little bit of a, you know, what do you call this? Something that you have like felt in the past with your with experiences with that person, you know, reminiscing the past, you know, when you were together. And there is nothing else you can do after that. You know what I mean?
No.
Because if it's over, then it's over with.
No, so I agree.
I just have to keep on loving you.
Well, and I think it's okay to continue to love someone that you know you're probably never going to see again. I don't think it's okay to love them in such an active way that it's stopping your life. It's stopping you from loving again, making new friends, moving forward, making new family. But I think that when you have a soul tie with someone, and I talk to my spiritual clients about this all the time, that tie doesn't necessarily go away just because you say, oh, I want this to be gone now. It doesn't always work like that. So you, since it's there, you dream about those people. You feel them sort of pulling you sometimes, and sometimes they're bad people, or they're not good people, or they're not people you want to be involved with. So you think, you know, you can pull away, bozo, but I'm not coming near you. But sometimes it's somebody who just made a bad decision, or didn't handle a situation right, or is troubled, and you still love them. And so you don't have to get involved with them again, because that's not healthy for you. But at the same time, it's okay to have good feelings about them. It's about the things that were good. It's sort of like when I talk to my clients about, it's the difference between moving past something, Carrie, and moving through something. So to me, moving past something is you don't deal with it. You just shove it off to the side. And inevitably, that stuff is going to come back and bite you in the ass at some point. Moving through something is when you deal with it, you feel all the feelings, you acknowledge it for what it was, you understand why it can't be now, and you literally pop your head through the other side. And as you move through it, you heal. So it's healed behind you. Because I don't think it's good. You know, you meet people, and I'm sure you've met these people, and I don't want to be this person. You meet people, and the first thing they do is give you a litany about how everybody they ever dated was evil, trash, awful, a psycho.
I've met those people, actually.
And let me tell you something. I've dated evil, trash, a psycho. Let's see if I had all that. I had evil, I had trash, I had a psycho, I had crazy. Some of these were all the same person, but I had them all. But you know, you don't want your identity of yourself, right? What we call in the metaphysical community, your story. You don't want your story that you tell yourself about yourself. I'm a person that only dates, you know, from the Star Wars bar. You don't want to be that person. You don't want, because then inevitably what happens, the next person you meet is also from the Star Wars bar. So, you know, you kind of have to say to yourself, I understand these things happened. I understand what was good about them at the time. I understand why I'm no longer in them. And now I could write down on one piece of paper 10 reasons why I love this person. And on another piece of paper, 10 reasons why it's not a good idea that it's continuing. But then you don't have this sort of anger about it, you know?
Yeah.
I think you need to turn your radio down.
I just did.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, because I can hear us talking louder than I can hear us talking. So, I mean, I think that it's important to look back at something that didn't work and think, well, what was beautiful about this? So you can have some good memories about it. We're so conditioned, like Jessica and I were talking a little bit about before you called, we're so conditioned to think of the negative of everything.
Yeah, I mean, I hope not. You know what I mean? I mean, I hope people aren't like that, but sometimes you meet those weird ones. You know what I mean? But I don't want to be that way.
I don't want to be that way either. And let me tell you, some really awful things have happened to me. I mean, really scary, awful things. And I know to you, too. I mean, it's not like I'm some Pollyanna who's acting like, oh, everything in life is great. And those people, things happen to. I don't know. Nothing's happened to me. I mean, you know, people have been gut-wrenchingly awful to me in some ways. But either I can either be okay with that, or I can say, look, I don't want these people in my life anymore, but I have to think of it as a learning experience, and I have to be happy that it is what it is. You know, does that?
And at one point you make a decision if you're going to deal with those people on a regular basis or just drop it and just move on.
Yes. Yeah. But I think even if you say I'm probably never in the three-dimensional world, Carrie, I'm probably never, ever going to talk to these people again. I still think it's very important that you say to yourself, but here was what was beautiful about it. Here's what I loved.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I just think it's good. I just think it's good for you to feel that way.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying. I'm calling it the hatchet bearing tour. And I'm sure you've heard me talk about it at some of my live events. I'm sort of going around and just saying a little thank you to people in my life that things got weird. Now if this person, let me give the codicil before people start going, let me just say, I am Irish and I'm an Aries. So now that that's been said, if what went wrong was this person was a terrible malignant narcissist who caused trouble with me and other people, I'm not bearing hatchets with that person. I forgive myself. And I bury the hatchet on my end, but I'm not contacting them and saying, can we just be friends? But all the other people where it was misunderstandings, it was, you know, the heat of the moment, it was a bad breakup, it was whatever it was, we drifted apart. I'm sort of just sending everybody a little text, a little email saying, look, I don't know what happened with us. but it just feels icky. And I would love it if we could just smooth things over and bury the hatchet. And almost everybody has been great.
Oh, wonderful.
Almost everybody. Only one person has told me to go screw myself. And it's interesting enough, that person I lost because they didn't like another one of my friends.
Oh,
so they sent me a nice email reminding me exactly why we don't talk. And it was because of this person. And I'm thinking, well, if you hate that person, go hate that person. Why are you hating me?
Don't hate me by proxy.
Yeah. If you don't like that person, don't go not like that person. But most.
I actually remember that show that you said something about this along those lines. Yeah, very funny. Yeah.
But most people have just been wonderful. Because I think there is a percentage of humanity that are hardcore, malicious, malignant troublemakers. And I think we would be blind to pretend those people don't exist. But I think most people just really want everything to be okay. They don't want to be mad at anybody, and they don't want to be mad at people. They don't want people mad at them. They just want to get through their day with a modicum of peace. So I think most people are pretty up for, yeah, you know, screw it. I don't even, a couple people, Carrie, were like, I don't even remember why we were mad at each other. And then one other person who remembers said, I think this had more to do with other people in the middle of this than it had to do with us. So all those kinds of things can happen, you know, and I'm getting ready to kind of do the last phase of them and hit like the big people. And it's just a couple to hit. But it's hard because the more your heart's invested, I think the more of a hurt it was for you, the harder it is to just suck it up and move past it.
Yeah, yeah. Something happened along those lines. Like actually today I was talking to my therapist and, you know, I said that, you know, one of the closest friends that I have had, you know, she felt differently about me now, you know, so that's 20 years right there of friendship and now she feels like, it's over.
Yeah.
So I just cried, you know, but I can't do anything about it.
You can't, right? When people decide they're done.
Yeah.
They're done.
They're done. Yeah.
And you can't do anything about it. It's hard. It's hard because, I mean, I'm the kind of person that if I love somebody, I want to love them forever. But not everybody's like that. Some people very, very stringently, right, compartmentalize their lives. And they decide, okay, now this new phase of my life and all these friends have to go. And they'll literally let 50 people go from their life and move to the next thing.
Wow.
I've never understood that, but there are people who definitely do that. So when can we hear your new song?
Oh, it's actually on Spotify now. It's Monsieur Van Plan. You know, that's how I go.
Monsieur Van Plan.
By that name with my music and stuff. And it's on Spotify, and I'm working on my fourth studio album, and it's called XL. And I'm on Twitter, Mr. Van Plan, Instagram, Mr. Van Plan, and Spotify and iTunes.
Wow.
Thank you.
Can you text it to me? If you text it to me, I'll play it tonight.
Absolutely.
Actually, don't text it. You have to email it to me because I have to be able to pull it off the email onto my system. Can you email me a link that I can download?
I'll send you a copy.
All right. And I'll play it tonight. If I get it in time, I'll play it tonight.
Okay, wonderful.
Do it right now. How's that for instant gratification? Okay. Try to send me a link if you can, because if the file's too big, my webmail will reject it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
How about Messenger?
Messenger's great. Messenger on Facebook? Let's do it.
Yes. Let's
perfect.
Do it. Okay,
let's do it.
Perfect.
We're gonna play it tonight. And the song is called what, honey?
Keep on loving you.
We're going to play that instant gratification. Carrie, thank you so much for being here. Thanks for being a wonderful caller. If you want to get on the air like Jessica did, like Carrie did, 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. We're taking calls and doing stuff and dealing with people. And I'm getting all kinds of text messages. If you want to be on the air with me, let me know. We're gonna take a quick commercial break because it's that time. Not really commercial break. It's all like my friend's nonprofit stuff. I don't really do hardcore commercials here on Raising the Vibration because we're a nonprofit and that's how I roll. And we're gonna come back after a word from the sponsors, And hopefully we'll have the Monsieur Vamplon song by then. And it'll make us think about moving past our love and moving through relationships, not moving past them. Move through them so you can digest everything and be whole. Okay, and again, here's my number if you want to get on the air, 818-437-0886. It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. A quick break, and we're right back with you, and I'm back taking your calls.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, this is Larry Russ, former keyboardist and vocalist for Iron Butterfly, and I'm here to tell you about that abuse is an epidemic in our world. Abuse has many forms, spousal and child abuse, sex and human traffic victims, and sexual abuse. Musicians Against Abuse wants to do something about it, and you can help. Contact maabuse.com. That's maabuse.com. Join me and let's do something about it. maabuse.com.
Alcohol-related harm affects us all. Everyone knows someone who's been touched. Alcohol-related harm ranges from lost jobs to serious mental and physical disease, from ruined family life to property damage, from violent crime to homelessness, death, or prison. Go to alcoholjustice.org and sign up for action alerts and e-news. Then you'll be ready to add your voice to many others when it's time to call for action that will reduce alcohol-related harm.
Guitar, an amazing instrument, it has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. So join me 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time at www.latalkradio.com on Channel 1. And let's explore All About Guitar.
When was the last time a song made a difference in your life? If you're a songwriter who would like to help the victims of the recent hurricanes, your music can make a difference. By offering one song download for just $1, you can help bring aid and hope to those in need. To find out more information and join songwriters Michelle Mangione and Grace Slick in this effort, please visit writersforthestorm.com. That's WRITERS forthestorm.com.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Imagine loving yourself without shame, loving others without blame, loving as love untamed. Sound good? Then join me, Rebecca Haywood, modern-day shaman and Toltec guide, for the Shameless Heart Retreat amongst the pyramids of Teotihuacan, Mexico. Reserve your space today at RebeccaHaywood.com.
When Debbie Fragner gave birth to Maddie, she imagined a world of possibilities. But when her daughter was diagnosed with cerebral palsy, a neurological condition that impacts a person's ability to move and maintain balance, she had to adjust her expectations. Cerebral palsy affects 1 in 323 children in the U.S. While this diagnosis may limit Maddie's physical abilities, it doesn't limit her ability to dream. Maddie is now 9 and has a dream to dance, which inspired the creation of the Children's Cerebral Palsy Movement, a nonprofit dedicated to the design and funding of innovative therapies that address not only the physical challenges of these children, but their dreams as well. As part of their Community Giving Day program, Whole Foods Market will donate 5% of net day sales to our movement on June 15th at their Tustin location and June 22nd in Newport Beach. Your purchases on these days will help further our cause. For more information, please call 714-746-4085. That's 714-746-4085.
I'm Sue Hamilton, and on November 9th, 2016, Artists Rise Up Los Angeles was created in response to the election and its results.
Through original theater and art, Arula creates and inspires positive political and social change,
and gives all its proceeds to charitable organizations such as ACLU and Planned Parenthood.
Join us
at artistriseupla.com
or on Twitter at artistriseupla.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. Hi, Facebook Live. Hi, LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Sheena Metal. We are an outreach of the RaisingTheVibration.org movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity that I founded on November 9th, 2016. Please join us there at RaisingTheVibration.org or IamRaisingTheVibration.com. I would love that. Also, my spiritual practice is at IamRaisingYourVibration.com and SheenaMetalSpiritual.com and our community outreach at TheVibrationNation.com. Please post your hopes, wishes, dreams, intentions, good thoughts, good things. Would love that. And we have a blog and a vlog at AVibrationNation.com and Raising the Vibration Radio is us right here. And we're also at latalkradio.com. Tonight, have you been told that you care too much or that you feel too much? That's what we're talking about, taking calls. And that's what we're doing. So we're going to get Linda on with us right now because she's next. And then I think we're going to get, we've got Crystal waiting. We've got Vicky waiting. So we're going to get through everybody. I promise. I've got to get everybody into the system. If you want to get on the air with me, you just text me and you do that at 818-437-0886. That's 818-437-0886. And then we're going to make sure that we get Carrie's link and get that played too. So if you want to get on the air with me, that's how you do it. And if you are wanting to get on, just send me your name. Of course, you're sending me your phone because that's how that works. And send me your email, too. Just another alternate way to stay in touch, because sometimes it's easy for me to get emails. Sometimes it's easy for me to get texts. Sometimes it's easy for me to get, you know, who knows, instant messenger. There's so many different things, right? It's so beguiling to all of us. But in just seconds, Linda, do you care too much? Have you been told that you feel too much? That's what we're asking all this show. And I appreciate you being here with me. Oh, it says Linda's number already exists. It says Linda's already in the system. And there we go. So we're calling her right now. Here we go. I think I probably put Linda in the system during the commercial break and completely forgot about it. It's very hot in here right now. It's very hot in LA today. It's like 100 and something today. And I think it's almost 100 in my studio. Linda, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, doing good.
Good to hear your voice, my friend. So, are you one of the club, my friend? Have you been told that you care and feel too much?
Oh, yes, all my life. I tell them I care too much, and why do you care? And I don't really care about these people and all this kind of stuff. Well, I care.
Yeah.
You know what happens when you get told that all your life? You feel like you're...
An alien?
Like you're being punished. You're being punished for who you are.
Yeah. People,
you know?
Yes. I feel that way all the time. And I was just talking during my last show today, during my daily Sheena Metal Experience show, that I feel sometimes like people punish me for having joy. Like at the most joyful times of my life, and this is one, I mean, despite the fact that my knees are busted and I'm walking with a cane, I'm loving people, I'm helping people, and I'm full of joy. And there are people in my life that I thought were my friends, and now suddenly they're all butthurt and angry because I'm happy, and I don't understand what that's about. Don't we want people in our lives to be happy and find themselves and get centered? Isn't that, Linda, what it's all about?
It is. And then you get people that are saying you're too nice.
Right, exactly.
You're too good. Yeah. I can't believe that. Why can't we all be really nice and really good?
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I am who I am, like you said about yourself. This is me.
Yeah.
I always knew I was different anyway when I was a little kid. Anyway, I used to watch the other kids. They'd hurt each other. I'd say, why are they doing that? You know?
Yeah.
And then last 7-8 years or so, I found out that I'm actually an empath.
Of course
you are.
I
figured it out.
Uh-huh.
I figured it out, you know?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And it all made sense. And I thought, well, I need to get around like-minded people. So that helps me, too.
Yes, you do.
There's another group that's not too far from me.
Yeah.
And get together with them every once in a while. And I'm taking Reiki classes. That's helping, too.
Yes, right?
You know, yeah, I've got one more course to take.
That's wonderful. So let me ask you something that I think is a very important question, and I'm sure will help a lot of people as you answer, Linda. You take everything in, right? What do you do with it? Because that's the hardest thing, right? Because empaths, I always
say our skin
is like, so if normal people's skin is like a glass ball, right? Ours is like a sponge. So everything comes in. Like if it's like how
everything.
We're like a window without a screen on it. Like everything just comes in.
Yeah.
So how do you let go of the things that you shouldn't have? Because if you hold on to so much, it just becomes toxic in your system.
And it does, and it has.
Yeah, me too.
It has become toxic. It actually makes me sick.
It has, right. Empaths have all kinds
about
of
it, and I,
unknown problems.
Like I've told my husband, because his family, they're all negative in your face and all that. And I finally had to tell him, I said, if you want to see them, great. Well, go.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see my family. You see yours. Because I just can't. I can't handle them anymore. They're about the only ones I can't handle. The other people, I figure, well, you know what? It's their opinion. Because I've learned to be, I know I'm an empath now. I understand it all. I just have to tell myself that's their opinion. That's their problem. It's not mine.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way to think I am. Then, oh, well.
I'll tell you a very interesting story. My father,
I'm a good person. I say that to people all the time. I'm a good person.
Yes.
So don't come down to me because I'm a good person. I get tired of people telling me, too, that, you know, they don't care, or they tell me, oh, get a backbone. You know, I'm sorry, but I can't change who I am. And
good
like you said earlier, too, that if you try to change yourself, then you're not who you really are.
Right, and nobody should be
and
who they are.
Too.
Yes, exactly. You know, being an empath, I teach a workshop now on how to be an empath and be happy, because I think people don't realize how difficult it is to take on everybody's stuff and not know what to do with it. I mean, I think my mom would have told you that she was very good at filtering stuff because she was hugely empathic, but she was very guarded. You know, she was a Scorpio and she didn't warm up to people quickly. So my father was a very, like, toxic person. I mean, that's not a secret. My mom called him the turd in the punch bowl. Like, he always was emitting negativity. You know, he could complain about, you know, having sex and eating a hot fudge sundae at the same time. There would be something wrong with the fudge or the sex wouldn't be good. Like, he could complain about anything. And my mom had always had all this stuff. She had shingles and she had, you know, skin rashes, and she had problems with her kidneys, and she had problems with her thyroid, and, you know, all this stuff. So her diabetes. And so he died. And 2 months after he died, it was time for her to go have all her blood work. And I take her to the doctor, and she's, you know, 78 years old. And the doctor says, oh, my God, look at all your levels. They're fantastic. What are you doing different? And she looked at him with this totally straight face and said, my husband died. And he said, no. What? Seriously, what are you doing different? Your blood's better. Your thyroid's better. Your kidneys are better. Like, everything is better. What are you doing different? She's like, I wasn't kidding. My husband died. And basically, as a negative person, she was sort of providing him with light for almost 52 years. And when he died, everything inside of her physical being got 50% better because, you know, she was in a wheelchair when he died. 2 months later, she was on a cane because all of that negativity that she was having to process, and obviously she was taking much more in than she thought, suddenly it was gone. You know, I mean, I had a ton of health problems when I was in a toxic relationship, and parts of my back hurt all the time. My neck hurt all the time. I had headaches all the time. I don't think my neck or my, I've had a headache since then. So it's interesting. I think as empaths, I always say, you know, it's not, we're not fooling. It's serious business to be an empath because you can seriously hurt yourself.
It is. Yes. And I have to tell myself that. Is it worth getting, is that person worth me getting sick over?
Yes.
You know? Yeah. Do I want to get the headaches, the backaches, like you're saying, you know, the feeling sick to my stomach.
Yes.
I
the
mean,
digestive
physically
stuff.
Ill
yes.
over people.
Yes. Yes. So at what point did you decide, Linda, I'm just not gonna not be me. I'm gonna be me and continue to feel things and be empathic and find a way to make it work because I don't want to not be my true self.
It's only been the last few years. Like I said, it's only been the last 7-8 years I learned that what it is I am, because I thought I was nuts, crying on a dime and all that kind of thing, and feeling everything coming down in on me and getting sick all the time.
Mm.
That's what just turned me around. And I just said, I just can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have to change. I have to find a way to change. And then getting with this group, talking to them, listening to what they're having to say, just like-minded people. So by myself, always keeping quiet, just taking it. I can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it helped, too, with my husband, another family member, telling me, get a backbone, and that would hurt, because I'm just caring. And my husband finally, all those years, he finally understood me after I understood myself.
Mm.
And he said to that person, he said, she's only caring about you. She feels you when you're ill. She feels you when you're not, when you're down in the dumps, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's only caring about you. She says you need to have a little bit more empathy for her because that's what she's doing for you.
Mm.
She just feels it. You know, she loves you. She cares for you. And ever since then, this other person has stopped saying that to me and being more caring.
Good. Well, good.
So once I got understood me, he got me. Thank goodness.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
I didn't get me for a long time.
Yeah. No, I think
What's going on with me?
You have to get you first. The most important relationship that you will have in your whole life is with you. You absolutely have to get you first.
And I take care of everybody. I'm the caregiver. I take care of the grandkids. I look after my mom, dad. I do it all. So then I have to have downtime because that makes me sick too, because I got everybody around me, and then I have to take time for me.
Yeah.
And I keep getting told, you need to take time for you, take time for you. Yep. You need to do more for you.
Yep.
So that's what I've been doing. I'll go on little mini trips with my sister and, you know, stuff like that. I'll do for me and say, let's go to the park, Jack, or, you know, my husband.
Good.
I have to do for me because that's what helps me. And then I release at night, too. I do chakras.
Good.
That helps me.
Good.
And then if I go walking, I release all of that. I do my chakras, try to do my chakras while I'm walking and put the white light around me.
Yeah,
and
good.
Push all that energy out.
Good.
Everything that's around me, it's not me. What's not me, go away.
Yes, exactly. And do you find that doing white light protection prayers and things help everything from coming in? Stop everything from coming
in. It does. It stings for a second, and then I have to go into my mode of put that white light or put up the brick wall, whatever it is that you can imagine.
The mirror ball.
Put it up, the brick wall, or whatever it is. Usually it's a white light from the head down to my toes, and then
my
try to put, like, roots through your feet down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Grounded.
Yeah. My new favorite one, Linda, is the Wall of Pleasantness.
Really?
Yeah. To me, it looks
wall
sort
of pleasantness.
The Wall of Pleasantness. So the Wall of Pleasantness, to me, in my mind's eye, is black and shiny and looks like the monolith from 2001, A Space Odyssey. But it's but it's full of pleasantness. So when somebody is being negative to you, you're throwing back at them pleasantness, but from a distance. So you're giving them no energy, and all they're getting is distant pleasant. Because most people that want to fight, they will feed off of negativity.
Yes.
And so if you tell them, like, I hate you and you're acting like a jerk, they'll be like, oh, well, this is fun. I think I'll stick around.
Exactly. So why not just smile back, right?
Exactly. The Wall of Pleasantness. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Pleasant to the whole thing.
Be pleasant. Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Why
don't
not
give them anything to get mad about.
Exactly. Why not be pleasant through the whole thing? That's exactly right. You got it exactly right, my friend.
Yeah. Yes.
You are.
I like that.
I think that you're on the right track. What are you still working on in regards to your empath nature? What are some things you're still trying to get right?
Empathically.
Or caring too much or feeling too much. Like, what are you still working on?
Trying not to feel so hurt. You know, and it still hurts. It does.
Yeah.
You know, deep down it still hurts. You know, that people think that you shouldn't be so caring and all that. And trying not to feel everything so much all the time.
Mm.
It gets me down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll get really down and then I can't stop crying.
Mm.
And then I have to tell, then somebody, my sister was telling me, she says, you need to put yourself into the now when that happens. You know,
she says,
look, morning doves are out there in the morning when I'm laying there in bed. And she says, listen to the morning doves, or hold on to your husband's hand, or, you know, feel the sheets, she says, that'll go away. She was telling me, she saw this in TV. She was saying it lasts usually about 10 minutes. If you can get through it, she says, acknowledge the hurt and the pain, but then move on and just feel the now, you know, instead of getting lost in all of the crying and all the emotions and feelings that you're getting all at once. It just packs me.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's what I'm trying to work on.
Good for you. Good for you. I think that's wonderful. It's hard. I mean, you have to almost learn to put filters up that are like screens.
And I have to change my way of thinking.
Yes. And as you get closer to you, the screens get finer. So the closer it gets to you, the more stuff the screen is filtering out.
Okay.
Until only what's really supposed to be with you is with you, and everything else can't make it in. It's a shame that you have to do that.
Yeah.
But you have to do that.
I know it is.
It's a shame.
It is. Yep.
It's totally a shame. You know what? You're doing.
But we need more of us in the world.
Yes, and
we
more
need more of us.
More of us admitting who we are.
Yes, because I kept quiet all these years. I've kept quiet most of my life.
I did for many years too.
About the whole thing, just suffered through it. Like,
yep.
I can't do this anymore.
I did.
I have to be me.
I did the same thing. I did for many years too.
Yep. Yeah.
You are wonderful, my
and
friend.
Those,
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I appreciate you calling in and being terrific and hanging out with me today. What were you going to say? I didn't want to cut you off.
Thank you. I said the same thing like with ghost hunting. See spirits on my life, and then people would come and give me good looks, you know, like they don't believe you.
Right, right.
It's the same type of thing, and I kept quiet all these years, and I looked at my husband, and I said, I'm not keeping quiet anymore. I see it. It's me. It's been with me all my life, and I'm just too bad people don't like it now. It's me.
Well, but don't you think that...
Like me or don't like me.
That seeing spirits is a lot of what a lot of empaths deal with, too.
Yes. Yes, and opening up. And me just talking to you tonight and everybody out there, that helps me too, because I'm opening up even more.
Yes. Yes, and you have a support system. I'm your support system. People listening are your support system. People who are in our chat room right now are your support system. This is our support system, so we don't have to be alone anymore. My poor mama, I think she was the only empath she knew. She didn't even know what to call it. Now we're lucky that we have places where we can talk about it and people we can talk to, right? And that's why I work so hard to create a support system for everybody, because she didn't have that support system and had no one to tell until I became an adult. So.
Yes. Yes.
You are not alone, my friend. You're not alone. And I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate you being wonderful, and I appreciate you being a caller on the show tonight. And I think you're awesome. And thank you so much for this. And thanks for being great. And thanks for being here. It's people need to hear your story, and I appreciate it so much, my friend. So, Linda was great. Carrie was great. We got Carrie's song. I really want to play it. And then we've got Vicky waiting to come on. And if you want to get on with us, 818-437-0886. We're talking about what it's like when you just flat out care too much. And what do you do about it? Have people told you, you care too much? Why do you care so much? Why do you feel everything? How come you have to always feel everything? What's wrong with you that you have to feel everything? Why can't you just stop thinking about it? Why can't you put it away? Why do you have to think about it? Why can't you just let it go? Why do you always have to be like that? Do I sound like somebody you all know? I bet I do. All right, let's play Carrie's song. So this is Carrie uses professional name Monsieur Vampland, or Vampland, or however you want to say it, Mr. Vampland, or in the French, Monsieur Vampland. And this is his song, Keep On Loving You. Let's do this, because he came and was vulnerable and put himself out there and talked about his music. And now we're all going to support him, because every show with me is like a healing circle. So let's love this guy. So this is for you, Carrie, and everybody enjoy right now. How beautiful is that? Keep on loving you, Monsieur Vampland, Mr. Vampland, however you want to say it. It's my friend Carrie. Beautiful. He called in tonight. Wasn't that great? Brave soul. So I played his music on the air. I reward brave souls who call in to talk to me. I'm loving doing these call-in shows with all of you. And it's so fun to hear your opinions. It's different because, you know, on Tuesdays, on Psychic Tuesdays, on both my Haunted Playground show and my Sheena Metal Experience show, we do psychic readings and healings and spiritual counseling. It's Lightworkers Unite, we call it. It's me and another lightworker or more. But that's a lot of you asking questions and us answering them. The thing I like about when we do these call-in shows on the Sheena Metal Experience, on Raising the Vibration, is that it's really a lot of you talking. It's not just me talking the whole time. Because I think that we all benefit from hearing the experiences of each other. That's a beautiful thing, and that's why I'm loving it. So with that being said, let's get Vicki on with us. And if you want to get on live with us, 818-437-0886. Tonight's topic, have people told you that you care too much or you just plain feel too much? And what did you do about that? It's not easy, my friends. It's not easy. People have always said, why can't you just let it go? Why don't you just let it go? Just let that go. Can't you just let that go? Why don't you just let that go? Let it go. Well, you know, because I guess maybe it's not that easy for me to let things go. And also because, you know, my heart hurts. So I always want to work through things with people. I always want to have a resolution through something. I don't want to just one day not talk to somebody that I cared about and have it just be gone. To me, that's a very strange thing, and that makes me very uncomfortable. And I don't like that. So I think it just depends on, you know, just depends, my friends. Now, I thought that I thought I had Vicki in here. Oh, there she is. All right, there we go. Vicki's coming, everybody. Raising the Vibration right here on LA Talk Radio. If people told you that you care too much or you feel too much or both. Oh, people. Why do they have so many opinions about things they know nothing about? Vicki, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hi, I'm fine.
So have you too been told? Why do you care so much?
Yes. My daughter Tiffany asked me today. She's like, Mom, how can you forgive so easy?
Oh.
People that have just totally crapped on you. For the last 5 years, I've been with a man who has lied, cheated, stolen from me.
Oh, man.
He has a porn addiction. I've caught him with drugs in my house about a month ago, and I finally went and filed for divorce. Of course, he won't sign him because I'm being crazy. You know?
Right.
But I have learned from my divorce group I'm in, you know, that I don't forgive them to help them out. I forgive them so that I can have peace.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because he is just, this man's driving me crazy. It's every day, you know, and I'm like, I'm not going to argue with you. I have nothing to say to you. I forgive you for how you've treated me. But you know, for 5 years, I ask myself every day, what have I done wrong? Why is he cheating on me? How can I be a better wife and cater to his every need? And nothing was good enough. And my mom told me before she passed, she said, you know, it's a flaw in them, and their personality is not you.
Mm.
So
it's true.
I'm learning to love myself again, and I'm going back to school in September after I get released from I'm having a back surgery next Monday, and I'll be in a brace for 12 weeks, but I'm going to start back to Votech and start a party planning business with my daughter.
Good
and
for you.
Go on with my life.
Moving
you
on
know?
Up.
I'm not going to, huh?
Moving on up. Now, how do you feel
yeah.
about, when somebody who's treated you like that, Vicki? How do you feel about the idea of bearing the hatchet and moving through it so that you don't have all the residual feelings afterwards? Do you think that's okay or do you think that's crazy?
I think it depends on the situation.
Yeah.
You know, I've told him, I forgive you, you know. I don't understand why he does the things he does, you know. But I forgive him. I care about him. But I'm not going to be stupid again and go back in that same situation.
Smart.
You know, I've had my youngest daughter cuss me out a week ago and called me everything but a white woman. And, you know, I let it go. I said my piece. I said, I love you. I will always love you, no matter what. And I forgive you. I know you're angry. I'm angry. We say things out of anger because the tongue is a wicked, wicked thing, you know?
Yeah.
But, and I just, and she finally came to me a few days ago. She texted me and she said, Mom, I'm sorry. I was acting like a bitch. And, you know, I just want you to know that I love you.
It's nice. And it's beautiful.
I just, you know, let it go. Just like water off a duck. But sometimes it's hard to bite your tongue. It really is.
Mm. It absolutely is. It's hard. And I think one of the hardest things is to forgive yourself for allowing yourself to be in a situation.
Yeah. Especially when it's, I think more so if you're in a relationship with the person, because I was told every day I was stupid.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, I was in that relationship. I was in that relationship, Vicky. Interestingly enough, I was too. Mm-hmm.
So,
worthless. I was worthless.
Yeah.
And also nobody liked me. And this person didn't know why they put up with me, because clearly nobody liked me.
Yeah. I was told every day, oh, my own family don't even like me. And I'm like, that's funny, because I can call my family and they're here. You don't know the pounds of hell that you're bringing on yourself.
Yeah, isn't that an interesting thing about narcissists? They always want to convince you no one likes you.
Mm-hmm.
But
you're not good enough.
Even if you're not believing it, I think over time that takes a toll on your self-image. It chips away at you.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It does. Yeah.
It's hard to build yourself back up. No wonder your back is broken. Somebody spiritually broke your back, sweetheart.
Yeah. He was a heavy, heavy burden, especially when, you know, I kind of suspected the drug use, and then I found drugs in his pocket.
Mm.
After our granddaughter and grandson's birthday party at our house. And that was the last straw. You know, I've been told for 5 years I was stupid. He wasn't doing anything wrong. And it's my imagination. I overreact, and that's why I don't have any friends, and blah, blah, blah.
You know? Of course it is. Sure, it's all you. Of course it is.
It's all my fault.
Of course it is. Yeah.
I told him, I said, I will take the blame for 100% if it'll make you feel better. But I know the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kind of got to the point where I thought, you know what? Okay, it's all me. But now, since I'm such a terrible person, please, I don't want anything to do with you anymore.
Yeah, that's how I feel. When I'm done, I'm done. I mean, I've had enough.
Yeah.
You know, being told how useless I am and, you know, that nobody will want me. I have a 34-year-old handicapped son that lives with me. Nobody will want me because of him.
Right.
You know, they don't want to deal with it. I said, that's fine. I don't need anyone here to control me. Tell me where to go, when to go, that I have to check in with. We are very, very happy, just the two of us, and we have a lot of peace in our house now. You know, it's just a total transformation without him being here.
Yeah, that's important, right?
Yes. Yes, because he is a narcissist. He does no wrong.
Oh, God, he sure is, right? It's terrible.
Yes, it's all my fault. Everything is my fault.
Everything is your fault. Everything. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Everything was my fault. I remember those days. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yep. But I'll
take the blame, but you know.
But as an empath, there are, when you get out of a relationship like that, there are layers of shedding off that negativity, Vicky, that you need to do, because it doesn't all go away right away, right? You think you've gotten rid of all of it, and then you'll hear something or you'll think about something and you'll think, oh, man, I'm still a little tweaked. And then you have to do some more work on yourself, because it embeds really deep in your consciousness and in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of constant reinforcement of negativity and the constant reinforcement of of you're no good, you're no good, you're no good. We believe it after time. I think it's why kids that grow up with a parent that's like that, they don't know, they have no foundation of which to build on, and it's hard for them to get started on their journey of healing.
Yeah. That's what, you know, he had me totally convinced that I was just a piece of crap, you know, and nobody will want to be with me. And I'm like, that's fine. I'm happy being alone.
Exactly. I had to get to the point where I thought, you know what? Who cares if you're right? I'll be alone forever. I got great friends. I got a great life. And there's more to life than being involved, especially if being involved with someone means being involved with you. So, bye-bye. I mean, you hate to have to be like that, but sometimes you got to be like that. Sweetie, you're wonderful. Thank you so much for calling in. Thank you to everybody who called in tonight and everybody that we couldn't get to. Thanks, Carrie. Thanks, thanks to Jessica. Thanks to Vicky. Thanks to Linda. You guys were all wonderful and fantastic, and I love you. We'll be back tomorrow at Psychic Tuesday at LA Talk Radio on Haunted Playground from 12 noon to 2 p.m. Pacific Time. And on the Sheena Metal Experience from 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific Time, doing psychic readings, healing, spiritual counseling. I will have my good friend Patty Negri on for Haunted Playground, and my wonderful shamanic sidekick and friend sidekick, only when she's here on the air. Normally, I think I'm her sidekick. Rebecca Haywood will be here from 5 to 7 p.m. If you like lovely people with beautiful souls and you want to get on for a reading, text me 818-437-0886. Thanks to Facebook Live. Until I see you next week here, please follow what we talk about all the time at RaisingTheVibration.org, at RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com. I do in my spiritual practice at IamRaisingYourVibration.com, and at our online community, TheVibrationNation.com, my friends. Seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, and embrace unity. And always, always, always remember to raise your vibration. I'm Sheena Metal. Till I see you next time, I love you. Thanks, everybody, who was so wonderful tonight. And thank you all for watching and for listening. Thank you, Facebook Live. Thank you, LA Talk Radio, for providing this beautiful home for me for the last 10 years. We'll see you next week, next Monday from 7 to 9 p.m. right here on Raising the Vibration.
You're listening to Raising the Vibration with Sheena Metal, only on LA Talk Radio.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.